question for you would be, you just retired, but now you're back to work. What about Missouri? Do you want to continue work?
Well, I announced my retirement not as a member of the A&M team, but as president early July of this year, so several months ago. And doing so, I made the logical kind of statement that my intent at that point in time, which was actually true, was to stay at Texas A&M as a member of the faculty, as so many presidents or chancellors might do it if they retire, and go back to the teaching and research part of my life for so many years. So that's where I was back in July. Time went forward. Fairly recently, this opportunity came along. It hasn't been very long. And I began to think seriously about, well, what do I want to do going forward with the rest of my life? I really, really like students. And I've enjoyed a great teaching career, a great career mentoring my graduate students and undergraduates in research. Those are very special times. I still intend at some point in my career to get back to that. But in doing so, you affect perhaps dozens, maybe 100 or 200 students in classes and laboratories, not the thousands and thousands I've been able to deal with as A&M's president or I could deal with here. So that's kind of the transition I went through in thinking, I mean, where do I want to put my emphasis? Will it be something that impacts a few students or will it impact literally thousands of students? And that's really what tipped the balance to thinking, well, I do have, I think, some abilities are important. I do have this mindset that students come first. And so I felt this was a very comfortable situation. I said back there, I would not have even responded to many possibilities. Only very few places, this being one of them, would have even offered me the possibility of finding comfort. But Mizzou is so special in so many ways and such a place that represents many things that are important to me. As I said, the land-grant nature, the AAU, the APLU, leadership role it plays, all those things fitted me perfectly. And so as this conversation began just a short time ago, I had to do some soul-searching with my wife's help, and we thought through this and felt this was a good way to make a next step that would still keep my engagement with a lot of students. Someday in the future, can't be that far away, I'll certainly go back to the faculty. I lived that long and resume that role. Now I can still do what I've been doing for many years, which is engage widely and to help impact in some small way many, many students' trajectories in life.
Dr. Lofton, congratulations again. Chris Trujillo, Hayward UTV, having overseen Texas A&M's move from the Big 12 to the NCAA. Missouri has made a similar move now. I'm curious, please, just your view on the importance of athletics at a university like this, especially moving forward.
Well, it's always a little trite to say this, but athletics does provide a window into the institution. That's true of small and large institutions. It doesn't matter. It does reach out beyond the local university campus to the alumni and beyond in every case. So I've always recognized the criticality of athletics as a way to attract people to see who you are. Now, when you have that attraction in place, then you use it, not simply to highlight your athletic programs only, but other things as well. And so that's kind of a given. Now, move to the SEC. Well, the primary reason that I promoted that move to Texas A&M was because of visibility. A&M is a big university. It's had impact, got visibility. But now it has much, much. And so does Mizzou. This move to the SEC by both universities has given them a larger stage on which to be placed. And that stage provides you the opportunity not simply to highlight athletics, but also academics, history, traditions, and really educate people who might otherwise see you any other way about who you really are. And that's what I think is going to help Missouri go forward, just as A&M is going forward, and really making the case it's truly a worldwide treasure in higher education.
Dr. Lofton, I had one follow-up, too, about change. People assume when there's new leadership there's going to be some changes. Are you going to maybe implement a lot of change as you perform your new leadership?
That's to be done, sir. I've got to learn a little bit first. I mean, I know a bit about Missouri. UM is a great place, and I've studied a bit about it from the outside looking in. Now from the inside looking out, I can see much more. We will take time to engage widely within and without the university. Before anything is done. I'm a person that is decisive, but I have to work on good knowledge. We have to have good data, good knowledge, the right conversations. But change is normally something which, while people fear it, is a good thing. But it must be done carefully in ways that does not detract from what's already really good about the institution. My record at A&M shows that when I had to make rapid decisions, they got done. But we also revere process. Process that takes sometimes a little more, you want to take time, but it's going to be one of those ways to make sure that the entire community can buy into whatever decisions are made. So I work with the president of the system here closely, as well as the individuals on campus, faculty, staff, and students especially, to make sure that we have the right conversation and I have the right data.
Karen Porter with the Columbia Tribune. This question is actually directed. Dr. Laughlin is under at-will employment. I was wondering
about
something new and why that
decision was made. No, it's not something new. It was the appropriate terms and conditions that respect Bowen, which respect the system. We provided to you the information for that was included in this contract, and it's not anything.
Yeah, too. That's my current situation, Texas A&M. That's most common. Contracts are there in some places, but most commonly you'll find with employment among people at chancellor and president levels.
Dr. Laughlin, David King, News Talk 1400 Chancellor. You mentioned during your talk earlier that you had done research here at the university before. Outside of the university, what do you find at the Gilead and Columbia?
It's big enough to offer, I think, all the things you need in the city, and not too big. Bryan College Station, which surrounds Texas A&M, is about 140,000, 50,000. This is about 100,000, I think, so it's pretty comparable. My wife and I feel very comfortable in a place of this size. It gives you, again, what you want. It's not that far a drive to go to Kansas City or St. Louis, as a Houston or Austin might be in Texas for us, College Station.
As a follow-up to that, I'm curious because grew up near College Station, degrees from Texas A&M and Rice, been working there the last 7 years. Why leave the Lone Star State at this point in your career?
Well, we have before. Several years ago, we chose to go to Virginia for four or five years. And so that's not something out of the ordinary for Karen and I. Our points in life, our children are adults. They're grown. Our grandkids live in Alaska, which is a fur piece, as we say, in Texas. And so I don't have any real constraints about where I might want to be, what Karen I want to be. Again, for us, it's picking the place that matches us best, where we can make a contribution and we can feel comfortable. And this place provides that, both in terms of the university and the city it surrounds and the state.
Dr. Lawson, why are you leaving mid-year, your alma mater? And what seems like a lot?
Well, I announced back in July my departure on January 13th, the president. That was already in place, okay, and long before this opportunity came along. So that was already established quite some time ago. So nothing special about the time. Presidents and chancellors don't necessarily come and go with the academic cycle. Faculty do, and perhaps some administrators do, but that's not typical at other leadership levels. So don't read anything special into that at all. It was just a matter of, again, the right match. In July, made my announcement of departing the presidency. It was not to come here. It was simply a matter of that was the end of that particular job I had in place at Texas A&M, and I wasn't at that point even aware you were looking for a chancellor here. I'm not sure you were even quite aware. You just started the process, then, probably. So this all came about fairly recently, a long time ago.
Dr. Laughlin, this is Murray Williams, the Kansas City Star, on the phone. When were you approached about the MU position? And in addition to that question, I know that MU has as a goal raising its rankings among AAU institutions. Was that a discussion at the time when you were approached?
I can't give you the exact date. I've got my records on it right now, but it was probably 2 months ago, perhaps. The search firm reached out to me, so I can't give you the exact date. It's been not that long ago, and clearly the fact that I have been at an AAU institution was important. I think that's a critical thing for Mizzou. This university is high quality and high standard, But the AAU ranking issues are always out there for all of us. Texas A&M's had its moments as well. And I've learned a lot in the last 5 years about how AAU works internally, how their system has been, how it's evolving in terms of its membership rules. And that places me in a good position, I think, to be able to work with this community to make sure that we match the criteria that AAU puts forward for its members. Those criteria revolve around faculty in every way you can match them. They revolve around faculty in terms of their success in getting research grants, in terms of their recognition professionally, in terms of their research productivity and significance. All those things are the critical value points, if you will, for AAU membership. And again, Missouri has a lot going for it right now, but you can't rest on your laurels. You've got to continue to look at what you're doing and make sure that what you're doing is actually reasonably fitting into that membership criteria set. At the same time, within AAU, one can work with the evolution of their criteria to make sure it's not becoming irrelevant to where universities are today. That's a continual process as well. Not too long ago, two members were excluded from AAU, Nebraska and Syracuse. That was not a pleasant process. I was right in the middle of that process. It wasn't pleasant to watch that happen. And that's resulted in a bit of a slowdown, perhaps, in their evaluation of some of the institutions that are currently members, but that will be a temporary. So we have to get busy, I think, right away here and make sure we're doing all the right things. And that will be part of my major responsibility.
President, well, during the announcement you talked about his qualities, you personally, why do you think he was the right choice?
Bowen was the right choice for this position because we were looking for somebody that really had a deep understanding and a personal appreciation of a public land grant institution and the mission and the responsibility it plays in the state, national and on the global stage. Obviously, Bowen met that criteria. He also has the personality fit from a cultural standpoint that is just perfect for the state of Missouri. Obviously, being a growing up in Missouri, I can appreciate what you're looking for in terms of the right fit, and he absolutely is the right fit from a personality and leader standpoint for our great institution.
President, can you take us inside the selection process and how you approach Dr. Lawson?
I'll just a bit. We have a confidential search process that has been very, very effective. It worked well for my search. It worked well for the Chancellor of S&T search, the recent Executive Vice President of Academic Affairs, Research, Economic Development, Hank Foley, and it also worked well here. It starts with making sure that you have the right criteria, qualities, competencies that you're looking for in the next leader. And the meetings that we had, all the town meetings and the input of 600 people plus that we got that really defined what we were looking for, went into the charge that we gave to the search committee. The search committee has to be composed of the appropriate leadership from each of the competencies groups. And the search committee worked with the search consultant in looking at the candidate pool and narrowing it down to the finalists. I have no idea who is in that pool, and that's the right way to do it. At the end of the process, the search committee gave me the finalists, and I got to interview those finalists in no priority sequence with no commentary from the search committee. So I went into the interviews with the finalists with just the information that was on paper that was provided by each of the applicants. And I did my evaluation, and then I compared my evaluation with what the search committee saw. And through a collaborative process, we quickly concluded that Bowen was the right next chancellor for me. So the process has worked in the past, and it continues to work. And one of the things I believed about our process was time was of the essence, and we recognized that Bowen is very, very busy, and we didn't want to spend a lot of time iterating back, so we had a schedule. We stuck to it. I committed to you that I would try to do it by November 15th. I missed it. I'm sorry. But not by much. And we weren't going to sacrifice quality because of that 15th deadline. So that's a little bit more detail on another very, very successful search.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us how many finalists there were?
Yes, we had three finalists.
Three finalists. Dr. Lawson, can you talk a little bit more about what your plan would be? I'm sorry, Chris, you said
get it. How do you attract strong faculty and earn more research grants?
Well, faculty don't necessarily come for money. That's a factor. But they really come for a couple of things. They want a place to actually bloom. They want to be able to do what they want to do. They want to be able to teach their areas of competency. They want to be able to engage with faculty and students with like-mindedness. And so the fit for a faculty member is critical for them. I've been there. I've been in that exact place as a person being considered for a faculty role several times. And you look beyond the obvious thing some people might look for, which is just basically an issue of money, perhaps, or perhaps public school quality, which is not significant, but not the most important thing. Collegiality, a sense the university values you, that the area of work you're bringing to the table is one that actually is important to the university. All those things play into that. So it's a complex issue. And it takes some really good department leadership, the department, the dean, particularly at that level, to be able to find the right fit for the faculty member and themselves. Not unlike what went on here with me, at a different level, but it happens every day around this country. This university has a lot of depth. You've been here a long time, and you're known. And so that gets you past a lot of it right there. But I'm sure Dean can tell you what it takes to hire a good faculty member. It's not trivial. Search at Texas A&M right now may attract 100 different applicants. And maybe only 10, depending on the area. But we often have to get hundreds. And you've got to win through that. And they've got to go through the same process for a society. Once you get down to a few, it becomes a matter of maybe selling yourself to them as much as them selling themselves to you. It's a mutual agreed pact. Faculty aren't like employees in general in their minds. They're independent contractors. They want to be able to have a lot of say about what they do and how they do it. And that's part of what shared governance brings to a university, which is not always commonly found in other institutions. And so the actual dance you perform to identify a faculty member and court them is important. And it is complex and culturally changing across disciplines as well. What you might do in one college may be a little bit different than other places. So the actual issue here is strategically deciding where you want to invest in faculty at a high level with appropriate inputs, then providing the resources out to the local level, the departments themselves, the colleges themselves, to be able to do the searches and find exactly the right matches. And they have to then sell themselves as much as the faculty themselves to the university.
Dr. Lofton, Fred Perry, Inside Copy Magazine. In your opinion, what was wrong with Johnny Football last Saturday?
I wish I knew.
I thought he played great.
at the level of Texas A&M and Missouri and all SEC involved, the level of our athletes is so high on a given Saturday. It's not the athletic skill they bring to the table. It's up here. It's very mental at that point. And the chemistry has to be just right. You've got to be able to see all the right things happen out there. Mr. Manziel is a very talented young man. Very talented young man. But none of us is on our top game every single moment of the day. And you have those things. It wasn't just him. I can go for a long story, but I think the issue probably is that for 2 weeks in a row, both the LSU game and here in Missouri, the offense was not what it had been two past years. So why? You tell me. You have to have an answer. We could probably make some money together.
Chancellor Alan Zager from the Associated Press in St. Louis. Some logistical questions. Can you tell us your start date? Also, how long of a commitment do you intend to make here in Columbia? And lastly, I know your wife is an academic as well. Is she going to be joining the university in any capacity?
First of all, the start date agreed to is February 1st, 2014. Secondly, I wouldn't even dream of coming here unless I was going to commit for many years. I think I said 5 years minimum to you, I believe, in our conversation here. So I would say 5 years and beyond is what I would think about in terms of a tenure as a chancellor, hopefully more than five. My wife went through a process which started a couple of years ago, which ended just last week, to retire from her current role at Texas A&M, and I think she does not intend to reengage in that way. She wants to be a partner She wants to be helpful to diversity in that capacity, and she wants to ride horses.
My question was on a lighter note. Is you're associated with bow ties. You have a large collection of those. Do you just like bow ties, or is there a story behind why you wear them?
There's a long story I won't tell you, but it began with rebellion. Okay, I'll just tell you that. We'll talk offline one of these days about that.
Dr. Lofton, Emily Stamen, you've got quite the following on Twitter, but your current Twitter handle is @friends. Any ideas for your
name? We're going to talk about that with the social media people. I know that Brady Deaton has a Twitter handle as well. I think it's MU Chancellor, I believe. I need to figure out what the right one will be. I chose mine personally, and I manage my Twitter feed myself. So I'm not sure how it works here exactly, but I'm going to talk to the communications individuals here, and we'll talk about that. I've already had a lot of suggestions, by the way, from your folks here. I picked up about 400 followers last night, most of them are Mizzou people, and I've had a lot of suggestions coming already about which handle I should use. So we're going to talk it through and figure out the best one.
One more.
Jim, could you just talk about the importance of awareness of sports in this hire? We mentioned the record fundraising at A&M. I would suggest that, for instance, you had a Heisman Trophy winner, a basketball championship team that beat Alabama may have helped. But your awareness in athletics' role in this hire and Dr. Lofton's background?
It was a criteria. It wasn't the number one. It was one of many that we were looking for. As Bowen has said, he recognizes the importance of sports relative to the brand, the awareness. We also appreciate that. And his deep appreciation for the SEC specifically and the changes that were made for A&M to go to the SEC, obviously that history helps him and leading AAU SEC institution. So it's very, very important, but it's one of the many criteria and qualities that we're working on. Thanks, Chancellor. That was wonderful.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you all. We'll have time together in the future, I'm sure.